Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 16th, 2014. If you were with me yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, I'm sure you're back to hear some more of their story. And the two guests again in the studio with me are Calvin and Marcia Dreger. They live in the Champaign area, the parents of two children, one grandchild. I just learned that. So one grandchild that you love. What do they call it when parents finally, their children have children, then you're like, ha, now poetic justice. Oh, yeah. Now you're going to see what it's all about.
It's revenge time.
Yeah, revenge time. So now you can spoil them. Is it a boy or girl?
Your grandson?
A grandson. Yeah, so grandson. Fill them up with sugar and send them home, and then you kind of can enjoy the afternoon.
Yeah, he's 15 months old, going on two. He's getting into his terrible twos early.
Oh, air terrible twos. You know, yesterday, I don't think I formally introduced what you do or what you have done. We got right into some of the testimonies and prize drawings. So I'll introduce you to our radio listening family. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And it was a powerful faith journey that God's had you on, Marcia, these many years. But we're going to share a little more about your story and how God has been at work stretching your faith. And then also, Calvin, you have a similar background growing up in somewhat dysfunctional family, as so many of us have parents that were either alcoholics or weren't there, or absentee, or step-parents and so forth. Mm. But you're currently serving as a service manager for Merry Maids.
Right.
So
that's
many
correct.
Of our listeners are probably familiar with that great service where
Absolutely.
Come in and
clean your house.
Clean the house and organize things and do windows and everything. That
shampooing, the whole works.
The whole works. So, and that's right out of the greater Champaign-Urbana area?
Yeah, the headquartered in Urbana, and we go as far north as Paxton, far south as Tuscola, and we do an excellent job.
Now, what's the role of service manager?
Basically, what I do is I go into people's homes and I decide how much cleaning needs to be done and work with the homeowners and make sure that we do exactly what they want them to do. And get the home nice and clean and follow up and make sure that the work is done exactly the way we planned.
And then you, Marcia, you're currently serving as a tech at Getz First Aid, and they do a lot of different things because I see some of their trucks zipping around the area, everything from like security to cleaning to fire prevention. Or what are some of the things that Getz is known for?
Well, they've been in business for, I think, since 1957. They started out manufacturing, I believe, fire extinguishers and fire prevention services, which they recently have gotten back into. They do small fire extinguishers. They do hood cleaning. They have industrial cleaning.
Whereas they go into, like, restaurants and so
forth.
Right,
and clean the hoods, and they clean vehicles. They have on-site vehicle cleaners, and then anything, fire sprinklers. There's probably five or six different divisions to the company, and then I'm with the first aid division.
So you would go into a business?
Yeah, I go into a lot of factories, a lot of grain elevators, and different businesses. And basically what I do is go in and check their first aid kits and make sure they're up to OSHA and ANSI standards. And we check them. Some we check monthly, some quarterly, some yearly.
Well, I appreciate you being available for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And we had lunch after church together at the Texas Roadhouse, and I got to hear some more of your faith journey because on Saturday you were at the Wellness and Fitness Fair at Lincoln Square Mall. Yeah. And I was just so delighted. So many of the listeners came by our little table, and I recorded spots. And Lord willing, I'll have them all finished for a little montage on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends when I have Jason in the studio. Yeah. And so we got to talking, and Calvin, as I mentioned yesterday on our broadcast, it was about 18 and a half years ago when you were working at Fox TV that we connected. You were coordinating, I think, some of the public service announcements or the
public affairs program.
Public affairs program. You had me in to talk about the radio station that was being birthed that very weekend. And so, that was like 18 and a half years ago. I think you said like April 8th, so you almost you knew exactly the date, because we went on the air Easter Sunday, April 7th, 1996. And
go.
So
yeah.
you helped get the word out to the TV viewers of Fox TV, but you've since worked with them, I think, in sales for 20 plus years.
Yeah, I worked with several different radio stations and also TV stations and cable over the past 22 years. You know, at every place I went, I tried to serve the Lord, you know, and, you know, sometimes things didn't work out and you end up at another station and you try again. So it's a tough business.
Thank you, God, for my radio board and the Great News Radio listeners that continue to finance this ministry that has been broadcasting nonstop, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. In April, we began our 18th year of broadcasting. I began thinking, you know, in 2016, it'll be our 20th year. When do you become 20 years old? Is it right after, like, the 19th year? Now you're moving towards the 20th year? Or, you know, I was trying to figure out when do we officially start announcing 20 years broadcasting the good news message of Jesus. But that'll be a year or so away, so I can figure that all out. But you were with us from the very beginning and financially supporting the station. And it was neat to reconnect. And yesterday, Marcia, you shared a great deal of some of your faith journey and some of the miraculous ways God's been working behind the scenes, even recently a month ago when you've had these mini strokes. And the doctor, I think, even said if you didn't get into the hospital within a day or two, you could have had a major stroke because of blood clots and you might not even be with us. So thank you, God, that once again, I think Calvin has kind of encouraged you to get checked out, because didn't he have a role some years ago and also saying, hey, we got to get these bandages changed every night? And then you came to find that you could have died.
Yeah, we had gone back in the younger days. We had gone backpacking in the Colorado, and he had bought me a brand new pair of hiking boots, and I got a blister on my toe, and every night he would faithfully take the bandages off of the blister and clean it and put new bandages on. And then I noticed at night, as we were coming down, I would get so hot at night. And I thought, well, my new sleeping bag is working really well. And then the last mile took me about an hour and a half. And I had one of the guys had a walking stick, and I was using that. It took me about an hour to walk the last mile. And when we got in the car, I think my eyes were like curling up in my head. And I kept saying, no, no, let's wait till we go back home. And he insisted that we go into Durango and we go to the doctor. So I go into the doctor and I get in, and she lifts my pant leg up to my knee, and then all of a sudden she jumps off her stool and she runs out of the room. And a few minutes later, the doctor runs back in, and he lifts my pant leg up, and he looks at me, and he goes, I hope to goodness you haven't been walking on this. And I just started laughing hysterically, because I was getting a little loopy. What it was it turned out that I had a strip of blood poisoning about 2 inches wide all the way up to my knee. And they said the only thing that kept me alive to get down the mountain was the fact that Calvin had been changing the bandage on my toe and cleaning it out every morning and every night. And if we'd waited like I wanted until we got back to Illinois, he said the only thing you'd arrive in Illinois with would have been a corpse.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, I know yesterday you shared a lot of your faith journey growing up in a very dysfunctional home where the parents were absentee oftentimes. In fact, at one point when you came to Christ and returned home, you found that the power was turned off, that there was nobody there, that they had just left, in a sense, had abandoned you.
Moved.
Yeah, they just decided to move away without touching base or contacting you. And you grew up in an environment with a lot of alcohol. You lived above a tavern. Many times you were left on your own. And yet, over and over again, you saw how God provided through a high school president, I think, of the class that invited you to a Bible study, to other people. They let you move in with them. To one day, some boxes of groceries showed up, and it's a person that you hadn't seen for 2 or 3 years. I think it was maybe the president of your class. And and then meeting Calvin, you were a dog catcher, I think.
And I was the county dog catcher.
And at this time, Calvin's a news director of a radio station.
Yeah, down in Olney, Illinois.
And he said, hey, I can't let the TV scoop this story because I think there is something going on with you being one of the only women in the state of Illinois. We say dog catcher, but wasn't there a more formalized
animal
type?
Animal control officer. With full police powers.
And so that's where Calvin entered into the picture, doing a little story on you. Tell a little of that, and then we're going to hear some of Calvin's faith journey and how God was preparing him through those tumultuous 60s with the Jesus movement and coming to Christ on a trip to Florida.
Well, the first day I met him, he had to come and interview me because two TV stations were doing a personal interest. He came in, and I said, do you drink coffee? And he's like, yeah. And I said, do you take cream and sugar? He said, yes. And then all of a sudden, I realized I hadn't bought any cream or sugar. And I said, well, tough. It's going to be black. And I didn't even notice when he left. In fact, I remember asking the anchor for the TV station that was there, what happened to the guy from the radio station?
So was the heart beating a little quicker?
No, not
a
bit.
Okay.
I really didn't care. And then a few weeks later, I had taken some fresh goat meat wrapped in butcher paper to his boss's wife, because we were friends. They had left for Scotland, so I was standing there, and I felt so stupid holding it that he walked around the corner, and I recognized the face, so I just sort of tossed it at him and said, here, this is for you. And he goes, well, I can't cook it. I said, so get somebody to cook it for you. And I turned around, and I started to walk out, and he goes, wait a minute. And he tosses it back, and he goes, I'll be over at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And then he immediately walks around the room, and he's, like, in the little booth, and he's on air. So there was no way I could argue with him. So then I had to call my friend and say, how do you cook goat steak?
I think it was pretty great of him to say, I don't know how to cook it, so, hey, I'll be over at 7 o'clock tonight. It's like, hey, way to set yourself up. But the interest wasn't initially really romantic. No. I think you might have even been dating somebody at the time.
I was, yeah.
And so talk us through that progression. And at this point, you're in your early 20s, and I think you're following Jesus, but it's kind of one of these passive relationships.
Yeah, it was on and off type of a relationship with God. You know, I was coming out of a relationship with someone, and, you know, somebody shoves something in my face, I'll shove it right back. I was a news director. I'm a kid from Chicago, you know, and she was good looking, you know. It's one way to get a date and a dinner, you know, just how, you know, and I did bring wine, so.
But I hate wine.
But, Mark, it's a pleasure for us to be here on Great News Radio to share our testimony. And I have basically a similar background to Marcia. My father was a bona fide alcoholic, a chain smoker. He was a construction worker. He was a mason contractor, had his own business in Chicago, and, you know, built some of the homes in the suburbs around Elmhurst, and got caught up in one of those economic hiccups where there was a downturn in the economy, and he lost the business. And drinking got heavier. He bought an old house in Chicago, fixed it up, and that's where we lived the next 21 years. But my mother kicked him out when I was about 5 or 6, and my grandmother came from Germany, because, you know, my parents were from Germany, and she took us back to the old country, and I lived there for a year and a half. And when I came back, Dad was gone, and Grandma and my mother, you know, raised us. My grandpa came over a couple of years later. So basically, my grandparents raised us.
Yeah, because I think you had said your mom was kind of messed up because of the war and just some of the choices she made.
She had emotional problems. Like, she was very paranoid, and, you know, she grew up as a ballet dancer. And, of course, here in America, ballet's not a big deal, you know. So she basically supported us by doing, you know, dancing, singing, a little bit of acting. And
stand-up comedian.
Stand-up comic, too, and everything. Because of her foreign accent, she was always the gypsy, you know. And she did some, you know, nightclub acts and stuff like that. And so we never saw her because she would work from 10 o'clock at night till 4 in the morning. You know, and my grandparents kind of took care of us. But that left time in the evening for my brother and I to get outside and get into trouble, you know, and do what kids do on the street and do stupid things. And that's pretty much the way I grew up, you know.
But it was on a trip to Florida,
yes.
One of these trips where, hey, how are the women down there? There's a lot of fun. There's drinking. There's partying.
I'm in. Yeah, I was a senior in college. I was at SIU in Carbondale, which at that time was known as a party school, and I wanted to be part of that party scene. And for $125, you could get a bus trip, and they took four buses down to Daytona Beach and hung out with my friends, and we kind of got separated.
But this was a point where $120, yeah, not much, but you were starving.
Yeah, I was one of these starving college kids, and a friend of mine told me how to get on food stamps, so I had some money set aside to last all the way through May, you know, and it was barely stretching it. So then I got these food stamps. Now I had a little bit extra money to spend, and it's like, I must be good to myself because I've been suffering for the last 6 months, you know. So I had a chance and, you know, struck out, didn't go anywhere. And I was down on the street, and this van came by, and the door was open, and they were handing out beers and stuff. So I hopped in the van, never met these guys before. You know,
it was the 60s.
It was early 70s. It was the 70s.
Okay.
Yes. 74. I got to an intersection. I jumped out of the van, had no idea where I was, went across the street, and there were a group of people there, and they were basically working, getting college students to believe in Christ. You know, so I got to meet some of those kids, and the question that they asked everybody was, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And I was intrigued by that. I'm like, oh, probably won't, you know. So I went inside, and they had a movie that they showed and everything. And
then you're still holding the beer in your hand.
I still had the beer, yeah, sure enough.
And, you know, thank you, God, for those, like, street evangelists or people that proclaim Jesus at the beaches and so forth.
Absolutely. And, you know, I saw the film, and I prayed with this young man from Ohio. And then he asked the question, would you like to be saved tonight? I thought about it. I said, yes, I do. I do want to be saved tonight. And you should have seen the look on his face.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, you do? Scroungy guy like you? So we prayed some more, and I was saved. I was saved that very night.
And you since then returned, and you met up with Marcia, and you kind of, you both felt, I think you described it earlier, Marcia, that you both kind of were broken, but you figured between both of you, you would make a whole, and you've been married these 36 years and have leaned into each other and found support and strength, and your faith journey has grown, and you've been involved in churches and leadership, and you're trying to serve the Lord in unique ways now. And I know, Marcia, you mentioned yesterday that Hebrews 11, one, that faith journey. Why is faith so important to you?
I've got a picture I took a long time ago, and it's of a rock. And in a crack in this rock, there is one spindly little plant growing out of it. And I feel like that has been my life. And I love it because in Hebrews, in the King James Version, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And even though most of my life I never really even dared Calvin used to ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up and what my dreams were. I didn't have any dreams. It never occurred to me for one second to have a dream. And somebody said, well, what do you want to be when you're an adult? And I said, alive. That was my entire goal. I just want to be alive. But it's like from ever since I can remember, it's like Christ was there even before I knew him. And that's definitely something I haven't seen. Faith is, it's there and it's real and it's tangible.
Yeah, and then sometimes you can't even explain why. Like when people would say, well, I don't know if Jesus could really be at work in your life or working in your life if you didn't know him. And you would say, but he was working. And God, I think, is pursuing all of us in so many different ways where sometimes we just don't realize it till later on. We look back and we're like, gosh, God was carrying me along. Those footprints in the sand, as many people are familiar with.
Even the simple things. We moved into a house and the lady wanted $75 for the washer and dryer. And we could come up with $7,500 easier today than we could have $75 back then. And Calvin was having a rough time and he was kind of sarcastic. And he goes, well, why don't you pray for it? Well, we had an international scout, and a part of it had broken, and it wasn't under warranty. So now, like 3 years later, all of a sudden we get a check in the mail from International for $78 mm-hmm. because a part of what had broken had been under warranty, somebody suddenly decided. So I just gave Calvin the money like 2 days before we had to have it, and I'm like, okay, here's the $75 for the washer and dryer, and see, God even gave us the money for the detergent.
Hey, I'm thinking of giveaways as you're talking about, and you pulled up the prize drawing, and I hate to transition into the closing minute or two of our program, but I promised some people that filled out Voice of Listener Radio surveys
right here.
That we would pull out names over like Monday, Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. So these are people that were at the Wellness and Brain Fitness Fair this past Saturday at Lincoln Square Mall. And thank you for reminding me. Jason always knows that if I don't do it on the front end of the program, I always forget, or I hate to transition from a God-honoring faith journey into giveaways, but these are ministry resources that will help people on their faith journey. And if you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org, and I think you'll be really ministered to by their faith journey, how God pursues all of us, even when we're not necessarily looking for Him, or even the surprised evangelist, that individual that was sharing, are you sure you really want to ask Jesus into your heart, Calvin, and how surprised He was. And that's how God can use all of us as we share our story and testify to how He's worked in our lives. So that's kind of a challenge for me today as I meet people, is share what God has done in my life. So thank you both for sharing those, and share some names of some prize winners that are going to receive gifts in the next few days.
Here's a random drawing. I have Marge Probasco of Fisher.
Oh, good old Marge. Yeah. He serves in many of our volunteer efforts in the kitchen many times.
Nancy Gill from Champaign.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. Saw her. I think I talked to almost all these people that filled out the Voice of the Listener Radio surveys this past Saturday.
This one from Urbana, Ellen Plummer.
Ellen, oh yes, she had a great story to share with me, got her testimony. In fact, I'll share some of those testimonies tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Donald McGrew of Champaign.
Okay, thank you, Donald.
And I have Patricia Shell of Savoy.
Patricia, thanks. And last but not least,
Sharon Sorcher. And it doesn't say where she's from.
Okay. Well, we'll get that out. And you can tell why I had you announce the names, because, you know, it's hard for me to read or pronounce many things. So so glad that you were available for yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends and sharing your faith journey. And thank you, Calvin, for testifying to the unique ways God has used this
Appreciate it.
Ministry in so many people's lives. And that we would pray that you would be encouraged in your faith journey to take that step closer to God, to pray to Him, to see that He does have your best interest in mind. He loves you. He cares for you. He created you. He's designed you with special, unique gifts and talents. And so embrace those, lean into Him, and see the redemptive work that He'll do in your life so that you can be assistance to others. So thank you, Calvin and Marcia, for being available.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you, listener, for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.